News and interviews from your community every morning on WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
Thank you for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. Mark Lawrence here. Rob Center, a fabulous producer. More fabulous he could not possibly be. He does a fantastic job. And if you see the archives at WKOK.com on the podcast page, whether it's a wrestling match or, Sunrise, it's because he put it there. So we very much appreciate him keeping that very much up to date. Movie Mike McGranahan is here, professional movie critic. His website's ILC.com, staff writer for Ranker, member of the Critics' Choice Association. That's going to be very germane in a moment. An author and a tweetaholic at ILC. Oh, you're not tweeting quite as much as you have in some months.
Well, this week has been a bit of a blur. There's been so much going on. So,
okay, so you're busy.
I'll get back to that this weekend. Okay. I'll have a lot to say.
Well, with the impeachment underway, I'm anxious to see. You do have a few political views that I always... You have an unusual take on things, so I can't wait to see that. Campus Theater is the sponsor of Movie Mike's appearance, campustheater.org. Bad Boys for Life.
Maybe the third time really is the charm. I hated the original Bad Boys, and Bad Boys 2 is one of the worst movies I've ever seen. To my pleasant surprise, Bad Boys for Life is way better than those two. Will Smith and Martin Lawrence return. This time, they're taking on a Mexican witch with a grudge against Smith's character. Taking her down isn't easy, especially since Lawrence has made a vow to God that he won't commit any more violence. And it's going to require a lot of violence to get her. I'm not going to say that Bad Boys for Life doesn't have its share of problems. The story is pretty basic, nothing that happens in it is even remotely realistic, and the final 20 minutes get dark in a way that's at odds with the tone of everything else. In spite of those issues, the movie is really entertaining. Smith and Lawrence are frequently hilarious as they exchange comic banter, and seeing how their characters have grown is fun. The action sequences, meanwhile, are delightfully outrageous. A scene where the guys take part in a chase while driving a sidecar motorcycle is particularly amazing because it's exciting and funny at the same time. Those good qualities outweigh the stuff that doesn't work. I never expected to say this, but Bad Boys for Life won me over. On a scale of 1 to 4, I give it 3 inner circles.
Well, it is about time, and now if we can just get a Fast and Furious movie that you like.
Well, there's a 9th one coming up this year, so we'll see how that goes.
All right, so Bad Boys for Life. Well, I thought the first two were very entertaining. I enjoyed them, and obviously isn't Oscar-winning stuff or anything. Mm-hmm. You kind of saw right through them, you know, as, for whatever reason. But this one, they glued all these pieces together and pulled it together as an entertainer.
One of my big complaints, especially with Bad Boys 2, is that I thought it was very misogynist, and I thought that there was a mean streak that ran through the film, through some of the humor. I mean, there's a scene in that movie where a teenage boy shows up to date Martin Lawrence's daughter, and Martin Lawrence and Will Smith try to intimidate the kid, and they pull a gun on him, and it's just a lot of mean-spirited stuff, and a lot of stuff that I thought treated women very poorly. And one of the great things about this movie is it gets rid of all that. So it's a nicer movie in that sense. It still has all the action, it still has all the edgy humor, but they left out the misogyny and the cruel streak of humor that really marred the second one in particular for me.
So in my introduction, certainly the written one and sometimes the verbal one, I say women in cinema advocate. Mm-hmm. You wonder, where does that pop up? Here it is. On the previous movie, you were sensitive to that. Maybe, honestly, I just watched it as pure entertainment. I found it satisfactory. But in this particular case, you notice that, and you say that this is not helping progress.
Yeah, I don't want to get too graphic, but one of my problems with Bad Boys 2, I mean, there's a scene in that movie where they go to a morgue, and there's a naked woman's corpse on the table, and the camera sort of keeps its focus on this naked woman, almost like it's sexualizing what is supposed to be a dead body. You know, and the movie wants you to sort of get a laugh out of that or maybe get a little charge out of it. And I just remember feeling very dirty and like I wanted to go home and take a shower. So this movie, you know, the villain is a woman, which is very cool to see. You don't get that often in movies. There are women on the guy's supporting team who help out. So women are shown as being on an equal footing with men. So I think this is just all around a much better movie for women and just a better movie in general.
One of a good listener sends in a text and says, is Bad Boys for Life 3 a response, a rebuttal to Bad Boys 2?
I don't necessarily think so. I think the difference is that it has new directors. Michael Bay directed the first two, and his movies are sort of known for those types of issues that I'm talking about. He was replaced here, although he does have a cameo as a wedding DJ, so he's still sort of affiliated with it, but they brought in somebody else to direct it, and I think that was just a wiser choice.
All right, three...
Inner Circles, and I'm guessing Rob might get that joke, but Inner Circle was the name of the band that sang the song Bad Boys that has figured prominently throughout these three movies.
All right.
And is also the theme show for the theme song for the TV show Cops.
Right, and he can't memorize the lyrics,
right.
Which is about seven words.
Coming up with a new one of these every week is difficult. Some movies lend themselves to it and some don't, and this one really didn't, so I was struggling to find something halfway funny there.
Well, that's plenty funny. I would have never known that. I've certainly heard that song plenty of times, watching the police shows too, but for three Inner Circles for Bad Boys for Life. All right. New movies. What can we look forward to in the theaters this week?
Well, there's not a whole lot this weekend and next because sporting events are kind of capturing the public's attention, but we do have The Gentleman, in which a British drug lord tries to sell off his highly profitable empire to a dynasty of Oklahoma billionaires. That stars Matthew McConaughey and Hugh Grant. We also have The Turning, in which a nanny to two orphans feels like she's losing her mind when she comes to believe their estate is haunted. Kind of an updated version of The Turn of the Screw, which you may remember from high school literature class. And playing at the campus theater this weekend is Pain and Glory, Pedro Almodovar's newest film, which just earned Antonio Banderas a Best Actor Oscar nomination. And I have to say, this is a really good film, and Antonio Banderas has never been better than he is in this.
So name if you're looking, again?
Pain and Glory. So that is playing. He plays a Hollywood director, kind of looking back at his career and dealing with a substance problem and trying to get his life together. And a very good film, and Antonio Banderas is great in it. He's made some good movies. He's made some movies that are not so good, but here he has a role he can really do something with, and he hits a grand slam.
So he's been underutilized previously, or is he acting better and better?
I think it's kind of underutilized. I think he's one of those people, and Jennifer Lopez, we talked about her last week, she's another one. Hollywood doesn't always know what to do with him. And here's a movie from Pedro Almodovar, someone he's worked with before and is friends with, and together they just really make magic. It's a very, very good performance.
All right, let's do a list of three then. If Antonio Banderas and Jennifer Lopez are on this list of people who are great actors, but Hollywood doesn't know what to do with him or just hasn't done it to date, who else? Name one more.
Oh, gosh. Well, I mean, this is kind of an obvious answer coming from me, and he doesn't really do a whole lot of acting anymore, at least not in starring roles, but I always felt that way about Chevy Chase. He's a guy where if you look at some of his most interesting films, which all tended to flop, he's actually a really, really good actor and can do some interesting things, but they just kept trying to force him into one type of vehicle. Of course,
sure,
now...
the Caddyshack.
Right, you know, playing role. And he did that very well. He did the Clark Griswold thing well. He did the wisecracking guy and Fletch and things well. But, you know, go and look at something like Funny Farm, which I think is probably his best movie. And it still boggles my mind that that movie is not considered a comedy classic because it's so funny. But you'll see what he can really do in a film like that.
And you wrote the book.
I literally wrote a book on Chevy Chase's films, yeah.
Most literally in this particular case. Well, thank you for that. All right, some entertainment news. We didn't talk much about the Critics' Choice Awards reaction to the awards themselves.
Yeah, I mean, I think we gave out some really good awards to some good winners. The awards were held not this past Sunday, but the Sunday before. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood won our Best Picture Award. Best Actress was Renee Zellweger for Judy. Best Supporting Actress was Laura Dern for Marriage Story. Best Supporting Actor was Brad Pitt for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And Best Actor went to Joaquin Phoenix for Joker, which, you know, of course, a movie and a performance I personally wasn't wild about, but a lot of people were really responding very strongly to his work there. So I think overall we made some really good choices.
Well, you and about a third of the critics were quite unimpressed with Joker, and other people liked it. When that happens, what is the takeaway from that?
I think it's a movie that is just, it tries to do something. I mean, in that sense, I think it's good. good. It's a movie that tries to do something, and the fact that people either love it or hate it is a sign that it's taking some risks. You know, and those risks pay off for some people, and they don't pay off for other people. But I would much rather have a movie that comes along and takes risks than a movie that just goes with what's simple and obvious.
Better to have ventured and tried to gain than to have never tried at all, right?
Right.
Something like that. Okay, super. And these are harbingers of Oscars? I ask you that every year, and you say maybe. So.
Yeah, I mean, the Oscars are always unpredictable, but yeah, we have a pretty good track record of picking the Oscar winners. To me, the most important thing is just that we honor good films and performances, which we do, and I think that's our main purpose. But yeah, if you look at the numbers and do all the statistics and stuff, a lot of the times our winners do end up going on to win the Oscar.
And in the years ahead, you hope to go to the Critics' Choice Awards?
It would be fun. I'm invited every year. It's all the way across the country. I have two kids, you know, leaving my family behind even for a day or two is not something I'm capable of. But, you know, I'm there in spirit, and I'm watching at home on the TV.
Okay, and you can barely squeeze in your movie watching. You're so busy.
I'm very busy, yes.
That's kind of an ironic sentence. I barely have time to watch movies, so. All right. Let's see. Finally, the singer in the next James Bond movie is out. You were tweeting about that a while back.
Yeah, this is always a big thing. No Time to Die, the newest Bond film, comes out in April. And of course, they always have the amazing opening credits sequence. They're kind of known for that. And it's always a big deal. Who's going to sing the new Bond theme? Well, it was announced, I think it was last week, that the new Bond theme for No Time to Die will be sung by Billie Eilish, who really, there's nobody hotter in music right now. She is the it girl of the moment, or the it performer of the moment. So kind of a really hip choice there on the part of the filmmakers. And we'll see how that goes. But I love those. I like the Bond movies, but my problem with them is that the opening credit sequence is always my favorite part. So the Bond movies always peak for me at about 10 minutes in.
Oh, okay.
I still enjoy them after that, but that's always my favorite part.
All right, well, good. When they if we can get Fast and Furious to come out with Fast and Furious 9 that advocates for women and raises them up and rebuts previous versions.
And is good.
And is good. It doesn't jump the shark so spectacularly, I think.
Right.
You know, I honestly think there's, to push believability is one thing, but to jump out of an airplane in a car without a parachute and land on the road is,
right.
That doesn't really work. Okay. I love those movies anyway.
Nothing wrong with them, just not my taste.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Movie Mike McGranahan carves out 10 minutes of his Friday morning every week for us. His website, aisleseat.com, is appearance sponsored by the Campus Theater in Lewisburg. Mike, we will see you at the movies.